holding in Siman Kuf Samach Tes, we did Sif Aleph. We're holding by the last Mishnah Berurah on Sif Aleph. The Sif Katan Tes. So the last point over here was that the Mechaber said you cannot give the piece of bread to somebody who's not going, you don't believe is going to wash their hands. So the case over here, someone gave it to the Shamish. Sif Katan Tes. Lead to no pierce the Shamish. You can't give him to the Shamish. You're worried that he might forget because he's so busy. In general, the average person, we're not mukhiyud, concerned about that possibility. Unless we know the person who eats without netila, so then you can't give him. And some say, I have a person presents himself to me, I don't know who he is, I don't know whether he'll wash or not, I can't give it to him. Okay? So if a person looks up to be a kosher person, you know the person, you assume he's going to wash his hands. Mr. Burr is saying that the average person presents himself, we have a right to be to assume we'll do the right thing. This sheet is being machmir. But if you're talking to somebody that you're giving to, not the terrorist. Not the terrorists, a guest or something, but a person who needs stalker, to part yourself from stalker, because maybe the person and the person needs food. You know, I can give him food because maybe he's not going to wash because you don't know. So that you should not do. Now, even the Shabur didn't say. If you know for sure. That's the next sif. Sif base. So similarly, I can't. Besides the fact that I can't give it to a person who's going to wash. Not if he's not going to wash, I can't give it to a person who's not going to make a bracha. Okay. The issue killing me notes in learning b'tar stalker comes to Ramal and Moshe says if it's a situation of stalker, you're allowed to give. Zok the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mechaber says you have to have a positive knowledge that he's going to make a bracha to give it to him. Which means if you don't know, you can't. And that Ramos says, the situation of stalker, even though you don't know, you could give. Now, we have not discussed the case, you know for sure not. Because then you might have a situation of at least neighbor. Let's see, there's a few points I want to point out over here, but let's see the Mishnah Berurah first. Well, Yidin Lechol. So this is really a continuation of the halacha from the previous sif, which that's a Gemara, and this is the Rishonim deriving from the Gemara. That's why that's the flow of the two sifim. Now, but we said two pshatim in the last sif cotton test. One shot said, with the average person, we're not kosher, she's not going to wash. Mm-hmm. Average person that I don't know, I can assume he's doing the right thing. The whole concern is only the shamish, who I know is very busy right now, it's very possible, forget to wash it. So then we're not saying that a person walks in minastam, I have to be kosher, that he's not going to make a bracha or wash. According to the second shot, we said before that an average person that I don't know who he is, I just meet him, I have to be kosher, maybe he's not going to wash, so I'll probably have to be kosher, maybe not make a bracha also. So according to the first shot, I have no source for this din. But if I know for sure he's not going to make a bracha, then I cannot give him. Everybody agrees to that. Again, the case there was what maybe he won't make a bracha. So you cannot take away your body chiyum stalker because maybe he won't make a bracha. We are worried maybe he won't wash his hands by the shamish. There you're giving as part of your payment of the shamish. Now, if you know for sure he will not make a bracha, you cannot give it to him. Even b'tar stalker, you may not give it to him because you're being machshel him in an aveira. Okay, v'dafki im b'terek b'shos. B'terek answer in a yochel avarich lo yivke min tzlagav b'shul zeh. But a person does not know how to make a bracha. So then you, in a situation of tzlaka, you would give him. Now the shaila is, we have no complaints against the person. But at the end of the day, you're facilitating an avera. He's eating without a bracha. So whether it's b'terek rishus or b'terek oynis, you're still facilitating an avera. So the problem is, if the yiver, what's the difference? So Rav Moshe says, when a person does an avera because he has an oynis, it's not an avera. So you're not facilitating an avera. And that's why it's not leaving the yiver. Again, if the situation would be, I can help make a bracha, I used to help make a bracha. Again, assuming that there would be a situation where you're giving the person the food, you know he's going to walk away, he's not sticking around, he's not making a bracha now, and he does not make a bracha, he's not more, he does not make a bracha. So what'd you do? He says, well, you do anything bad. What else is he supposed to do? He has no other option.
Hold on, wait a second. So, I mean, I apologize for walking in late, but I'm a Baal Tshuva. If I give my father food, and I know he's not going to make a bracha, I'm committing an avera?
Yep. Okay, now, so let's go back a step. So this opens up like a Pandora's box of issues. So I said, I promised before, when I started this, before you walked in, that I'm going to talk about it more. So if you'll be patient, we'll talk about a lot of that issues over here. So this, you know, you go back 100 years ago, it was very clear. Your lines of demarcation were very clear. You had the frum people, and you had the non-frum people who knowledgeably were aware and they made a decision. And we're not, you know, so that's the decision that they made. They're not tinnik shenishba. They have, you know, etc. But in this situation where people don't know better, they're not knowledgeable, what is their status? So that's what Marsha is saying. If a person is not making a bracha because he has no choice, he's an oinus. He's not aware of the concept. He doesn't know how to make a bracha. So you're not still telling an avera. He's not eating without a bracha. And now, if because of you, you're going to feed him kosher food, without you, he will take non-kosher food. So you're not only you're not fulfilling an avera, you're actually doing a mitzvah. You're making sure he's eating kosher food. Okay. Now, there are other options. You know, if you're eating with the person, you can make a bracha out loud, and even if they don't answer amen, they heard the bracha, and they would pasha, they would be yirtzah with the bracha, etc. There's a fascinating idea from Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman says, a situation where you're dealing with somebody, which you have a relationship with them, and if you don't give them because of your frumkeit, you will create an enmity between the two of you. So an enmity is an avera in the Torah level. That's you're going to hate somebody. It's an issue of the raisa. So if you give him when he doesn't make a bracha, you facilitate an avera derabanan. If you don't give him, you facilitate an avera deraisa.
Mazel tov, so you're in a no-win situation.
Right? So if you have between the two choices, it's better you should facilitate the avera derabanan, he says, than to facilitate the avera deraisa. So he makes that argument.
What about you just avoid the person altogether, and how do you do that when it's your father?
If you can avoid it, you avoid it. If you can't avoid it, you can't avoid it. Okay, so we have a few arguments over. We have Ramosha. Ramosha says that since the person is an oinus, so you're not facilitating an avera, he doesn't know better. You have an option of if you can't actually make a bracha for him or something like that sort, you should do that. And we have Rosh Hashanah's argument that we have, if you don't, you might actually be making things worse. And the fourth option, Ramosha talks about if a person is doing this to be makar of the person, to make a connection with them, and hopefully that through that, eventually the person will start making brachas and those type of things. So you're not doing an avera. This is all part of the process. It's like chinuch. You're making this person to these concepts. You're introducing them to the concepts. So it takes time. You can't expect it to happen overnight. And then we have the fifth argument that if you don't, when the person will eat something which is not kosher, so that's you're not facilitating a avera, you're facilitating a mitzvah. It's much like he should be kosher food, and he should eat without a bracha, then chafer food without a bracha, right? Right? We'd rather have them do the right
thing. Is there such a thing as a bracha for treif food?
Nope. Right.
I mean...
So there are multiple arguments why it should be mutter. So that's about that. I think that is the... that's...
Okay. So what's the eitzah to do when you're dealing with this situation?
So again, so we have many. The best eitzah to do is to see if some way you can make the bracha, and the person at least will hear it, even though he doesn't answer amen. You say it out loud. There's a good argument that the person would be yotzei with that. If barring that, the person really, considering there's so many other reasons why it's not a problem, especially in a situation where you should be, because of mitzvah kibbutz of aim. Serving them, you should serve them. Okay. Sif Gimel, really, the reason why it's here, because we talk about the lochos of Hashamish, but really, the main sugya is the concept we'll see later on about when does one bracha work for multiple acts of eating, and when must I make a new bracha each time. So the case of the dealing over here is the shamash of work, bari pir gofen al kol kais v'kosher dinulay. So we said that you give him to drink. So each time you offer him a drink of a kais over here of wine, he needs to make a new bracha. Why does he make a new bracha? The fisha hu kenimlach. So the lacha is that if a person intended only to have eat, let's say, one apple. And later on, he changes his mind and decides to have a second apple, so the bracha does not work for the that he made does not work for the second apple. So here by the shamash, since he received once, there's no reason why for him to believe he's going to get more. He's not part of the meal that he presented that he can expect, feel he has a right to take. He cannot take. Somebody has to give him. So in that situation, he's not focusing on what will be in the second time, so therefore it's like a new decision that he needs a new bracha. Bracha chorna enam bracha lebesai, but he does not need to make a bracha chorna each time. Now, enam tzarech lebarach, I'll call prusa, imesh anam chasha basuda, shidei shidei lo kol tzarech mipas. If there is a, so, if there's somebody of stature by the meal who will make sure that the shamash is not fed in a very minimal way, that's not fed, his midas will cause him to point out to the Baal HaBayis, you have to feed the shamash more nicely than this. So then each time he gets food, it's all part of his original understanding that's what he's going to get. However, we made all the chasha basuda, so the Baal HaBayis might be pretty cheap. There's nobody who the heir of stature of the Baal HaBayis is embarrassed from, who will tell the Baal HaBayis what to do. So each time he gets a portion, that's like a new decision. So he has no reason to believe when he gets the first one he might get more. So each one is like a new decision. So he needs a new bracha rishana each time. So the bracha I'll call prusa kamala yain. Okay, hagoah. Shnayim shayach lemiyachad, shama shayach lemehem b'loy nisavshus kadei shitzarf lezim and vayin lekavam and simrei kufay and sifchav alav. There's one scenario where the shamash has a right to assume that they want him to eat, and he's allowed to sit down and eat without asking rishus. If they need him for the zimun, there's only two people, and he would help be the third, so he can assume that's what they want him to do. Sifchat nirbeis shul kinimloch sheni yodayim yitun loy. He doesn't know if he'll get it anymore. Now, achim ho yudaita b'shas brach b'shal komash yivu loy in circle brach. But if he said, I'm aware of the possibility, and I'm making the bracha now on the possible chance I might get more, I might want to include in the bracha now, then he would not make another bracha each time. Yud gimel, the mistama ha'adam chashiv yaz v'shitin lo'i kol tzarech mipas, the adam chashiv will tell the people there that you have to make sure the shamash gets the amount that he needs to eat. V'adam said, therefore he's no reason to believe he has to, that each time it's a new nesina. Now, we know Machaber pass, mash with the Dafka pass, Yazar Tamachokha Mesim Subim Shit Nulay. The Shamach can only feel confident that the Chacham will push the people there to give the Shamash bread. That's the main thing of the meal. You cannot minimize his bread. And who had been called over she's me reach with kiwa to poorly able to sarkly tonight or anything which Allah says you must feed the shamash because the smell or the sharpness salivates makes the person salivate. It's unhealthy not to feed him. So the Talmud Chacham will say you can't you must give him. Ach b'shar dar b'shu rak midas chesidus sarkly v'rach al kol mashit no loy b'chol pam v'pam shem the Talmud Chacham lo yazur al dar b'shu mashmi midas chesidus. We said before, something which is not bread, it's not bread, it's not something which has a strong smell or sharpness. It's a midas chesidus to give to the shamash, it's not a chiyuv. So maybe the Talmud Chacham doesn't feel he's going to force these people to do midas chesidus. So you, Mr. Shamash, cannot rely on the Talmud Chacham making them do it. So each time you get it, it's a new chiddush, new bracha. That is the taz. My Magen Geberim, he's talking about the right. Doesn't the Magen Geberim is masupik whether he agrees with the taz or not? Okay. Yudalit Shnayim Shnei Halachim. Rachel Lerman, Midah Mechayim Beziman. Talking about eating something which would have a chiyuv bread, which would have a chiyuv beziman. But that which he has a right to assume that he has a right to eat is the minimal amount necessary to be able to join the Zimun. If he wants more, he has to get Rishus. He might get Rishus, but he has to ask. Okay. Siman Kuf Ayin is an interesting Siman. The title's ready. Dibrei Musar, Shiyina Go Adam Basuda. The proper Derech Eretz, how a person is supposed to act at a meal. So this is some of it is Musar concepts, Derech Eretz concepts, and some of it is it's safety issues, medicinal issues, those type of things. So all of those go and get lumped together in this siman. Aleph, emesichin basuda. Person should not talk during the meal. Now, actually, the Aruch HaShulchan says the word mesiach doesn't mean to talk; it means to make talk. So, not only should I not be talking during the meal, but if I'm not eating, but somebody else is eating. If I talk to him and he feels that he's forced to respond, he might start talking in a way which will cause him to choke.
In other words, it sounds like your mother. Don't talk with your mouth full.
Well, it's more than that. I can't talk with somebody else's mouth full. Because I'm going to say something and he's like, oh, is that true? Next thing you know, he's choking because, you said such a controversial type of a statement that, did you hear what happened to Aunt May? Like three guys, this guy's choking. Shema Yaktim Kana Levesh. Rafilamishin is Atesh, which means he sneezed, Basuda, which normally we are supposed to respond to tell the person Gzuntait. Asuloy Lermeloy Asusa. You cannot tell him Asusa. So that was the language. Asusa means you should be healthy. Okay, number one point. New point. They were seated by the meal. One person went out to relieve himself. So when they would relieve themselves for ketanim, they would make sure that there's no liquid left. So they would use their hands. They have to wash their hands. He has to wash it back inside. They shouldn't be chershed him that he wasn't noto. They should see him actually washing. If he did not clean, rub over there anyway, didn't touch it anyway, so he doesn't have to wash. But if he went to the bathroom for gedolim, he has to wash his hands. Fine. That when he comes back, and he's coming back just for drinking purposes. So we say that he has to wash inside. But if he's going to be eating again, he does not need to wash inside, because people will know he will not touch his food with his hands unless he cleans his hands. We're not questioning him that he's a low life. But drinking is from a cup, so maybe he didn't wash his hands because he's just touching the cup. He's not touching the food. People know that the people are uncomfortable doing that, and they're not going to eat without washing their hands. So nobody's chashing for that. Okay. End of that halacha. New halacha. If a person interrupted his meal, talking with somebody, and they got very involved in the conversation, so not that's considered that the person has lost focus on maintaining the status. Again, he stopped the meal, stepped outside, or stepped over to the side, have a conversation with somebody. They get very involved in the conversation. He's not keeping an eye on his hands being clean because he's busy focusing on his conversation. So once he's Messiah Das, so he needs to wash his hands again. Now, comes around on the road and says, one second, let's go back to the second halacha. So we have three halachas over here. The first halacha, don't make somebody talk during a meal. Second halacha is about washing your hands. And we say it like this. If you're coming back to just drink, you have to wash inside. If you're coming back to eat, you can wash outside. And the third halacha was this halacha over here that if a person interrupted his meal with the conversation with somebody, he has to wash again. Going back to the second halacha, and we're saying that he has to, so we're saying this halacha has to wash inside as if you're only having the drink. If you're only having the drink, why do you have to wash? Not eating any more bread. So where is this halacha? The people shouldn't be chayshid that you're not washing because you're mechuyev to wash. I mean, in other words, you are mechuyev to wash. Now, what are we worried about? I mean, what you did, they don't say you went to the bathroom, that's your business. The difference is they see you eating and not washing. By that, how can you eat without washing? Well, no, eating not going to do that. So what's the problem with shtiyah? You have to wash for shtiyah. So at the Ramah, we have to be in the teal of the shtiyah. That which we were saying before, that you have to wash for just drinking. The answer is, Haino Basecha Suda. This is the Shekshin and Shema Yoichel. The nature is, if you're drinking, you might come to eat. So therefore, you're not allowed to go back to the middle of a meal and just drink, relying on the fact that you, and then not wash your hands with a kosher and a tilah, right? Because I'm not planning to eat anymore, because that's not true. Even though you're not planning to eat anymore, you might eventually eat more. In general, we don't hold it. You have to wash for drinking. So this sif becomes irrelevant. In the case it's not in the context of a meal, there's no halacha. I have to wash my hands until sedayim to be able to drink a cup. Let's start. First, Mishnah Berurah a little bit. Aleph, ein mesichah mesura. If filled with dibur Torah, even the conversation is dibur Torah, you shouldn't be doing it during the time when people are eating. Now, v'davka b'shas achila gufa. It's only when they're actually eating. You're waiting between courses. Of course, you could have a conversation, but right now, everybody's actually eating, and you say something, so that's dangerous. Like in the issue, of course, like the Mishnah says, it's dangerous. I will bain tavshal mutter between the courses. It's mutter. Fine. End of thought. New thought. Mishnah Berurah is just using this as a jumping board, a springboard for other thoughts. Mitzvah kolonim lima Torah al shulchan. It is a mitzvah to learn Torah by the meal. Shal shulchan shalom olav divrei Torah kilu ochlu mizev chemesim. A table which Torah was not said is a table which was we look at the food as an offering to Avodah Zarah. Okay. Chazal b'shloah the yiman mishnah halacha gadol isiri musar. Made a different option, but below eliyot b'mashal work b'chazam ozen. So you don't say, well, I'm in a bench. Your bench is the words of Torah. So I'd leave my table without any words of Torah. I benched. That doesn't count. It means something else besides that. Malka bonim yirma is a mizmer. If you're not going to open up a sefer, learn Mishnah, Halacha, Gada. If you at least say a kapitel of Tillim, so you said a kapitel of Tillim. So if you want to figure out which capital film to say, so the capital of Hashem Reilachsor, which talks about the Bereshim, it takes care of me, and I'm using that as I'm hoping Kadosh Baruch Hu will continue to do so. It's like a tefillah, Shemakai, but then of Divrei Torah, plus you get the tefillah for your pronos at the same time. So it's a good idea. Okay. So the question is, when do you say it? So Mishmur came out like that. It could be it's best to say it actually before you wash, but if you didn't do it then, you should do it after you wash, say amoytzi, eat your first kezayas, and then you say would say it.
Say Divrei Torah.
No, Hashem Roy, Mizra Hashem Roy. Divrei Torah as well. But the placement of this capital, which he's advocating, that's where it belongs. So what are we worried about? We're worried about Shema Yaktim. Shekhar Yotzakol, when the sound comes out, Nitzakoy Sakoyva al Piakona. So that Beglatis, which is covering over the trachea, opens up. But it is by Hamaychol that it's possible food can get inside over there, and we stock it, and the person will be in danger. Okay, so that's the end of that thought. It's all the